The Lord knew me before my time began, so I'm trusting Him to be my friend. The one who holds tomorrow holds my hand, and my hope is in Him. No matter what I'm going through, I don't have to go alone. My hope is in Him. Through every trial and test, I'll trust that He knows best. My hope is in Him.
Men through history have found God is faithful and His word is sound. Every promise in the book is true. He'll never fail you. When I'm in need of hope, where else could I go? My
hope is in Him. No matter what I'm going through, I don't have to go alone. My hope is in Him. Through every trial and test, I'll trust that He knows best. My hope is in Him.
Men through history have found God is faithful and His word is sound. Men through history have found God is faithful in His work. Men through history have found God is faithful and His word is sound. Every promise in the book is true. He'll never fail you. When I'm in need of hope, where else could I go? My hope is in Him.
No matter what I'm going through, I don't have to go alone. My hope is in Him. Through every trial and test, I'll trust that He knows best. My hope is in Him.
Floods of questions fill my mind. There are answers I can't seem to find alone. The Lord knew me before my time began, so I'm trusting Him to be my friend. The one who holds tomorrow holds my hand, and my
hope is in Him. No matter what I'm going through, I don't have to go alone. My hope is in Him. Through every trial and test, I'll trust that He knows best. My hope is in Him.
chapter number 19. After Elijah seen that great victory, Brother Brad, and all those that have been slain, the enemies of God's people, he watched that God lick up that sacrifice in that trench, then lick up the water in that trench. He watched that great miracle. But then here comes old Jezebel saying that by this time tomorrow, the same thing's going to be done unto you. I'm going to have your life. I'm going to have your head. But she said it's going to be by her gods, Brother Ken, those little gods that have no power, they have no substance to do anything to anybody. Right. But what did that do to the mighty man of God, which I am not? It sent him to go weep under a juniper tree.
Yeah.
It might just be that God likes giving you a juniper tree this morning. Amen?
Yeah.
And what did he do when he got under that juniper tree? He just wished that he could die.
Yeah.
There might be somebody in that same boat this morning, brother, that if God don't pass by, you're just going to wish you could just die. Yeah. And you might just get your wish, and then it'll be too late.
God. Amen?
You might be under a juniper tree this morning, but you might need to get on up because God gave him a meal that sustained him for 40 days and 40 nights to get up and go on again. Amen?
Right.
And God can do the same thing for you.
Amen.
Happy am I, Jesus is mine forever, never to leave, always in each endeavor, leading me on, in a life ending never, giving a smile every mile, oh happy am I, happy am I, all of my sins forgiven, what a great day, life is now worth the living, one of these days, I'll be enjoying heaven, now that I know, upward I'll go, oh happy am I, happy am I, Jesus is mine forever, never to leave, always in each endeavor, leading me on.
See this in sitcoms. You see every TV show you can imagine that centers around a family unit. The dad is always portrayed as a bumbling fool, and the mom is always portrayed as the one that runs the home, that has true power and runs the home. The children always run to mama and want to pit mama against daddy, and you find that the children have power over daddy. Can I tell you what happens in this type of environment? And this is Christian homes today. This isn't talking about the lost world, Brother Cody. This is Christian homes that we see walk in and out of churches every day. But the kids will see no importance to the things of God anymore. No importance. They'll come to church for 2 or 3 years. They'll get saved. They'll get active in Sunday school. They'll get active in the visitation programs. They'll get active in everything the church is doing. They'll want to do the drug addiction programs. They'll want to do the food bank. They'll want to do different ministries in the church. And 2 or 3 years later, because the woman is the one running that home, she's the spiritual head of that home. The children have see no importance because their actual God-ordained leader, their father, sees no importance in standing up and being the man in the home because their mama has raised them. They have no desire when they get out to be in the house of God. We've watched how many families do that in the past 5 years, Brother Cody? A lot of families do that. And just in case some of them might be listening by the way of the radio, yes, I'm talking about you, sir. You need to grow a backbone and tell your wife, we're going to church. I don't care if you're sick. I don't care if you got bronchitis. I don't care if you stubbed your toe. I don't care if this one's got a fever and that. Leave somebody at home and the rest of the family get in church. That's your job, sir. That is your job as the spiritual head of the household. But the reason why men are too lazy to do so is because they're effeminate. They're not the masculine one in that relationship. I've seen this in churches as well. And this family lasts even shorter amounts of time in the house of God, where Christ is not the head. Christ is not even in the equation. It's the man, the woman, and the children. Can I tell you what happens in those relationships? Because Christ is not the head of the home, Christ is never talked about around the dinner table. What the man of God preaches about behind the pulpit is never discussed around the family altar. This man raises his children in church just enough to say, well, we're in church. This man tells little Johnny and little Susie, just be a good person and everything will work out all right. We'll go camping 2 or 3 weekends a month. We'll slip into church once a month. We'll go to church on Mother's Day because Grandma won't leave us alone. Oh, by the way, don't tell Grandma Mama don't really have a headache every day. This is the man that'll lead his kids at home. Want them to be ball players. Want them to be athletes, want them to do this, want them to be famous, want them to be a great country singer, a great rock singer, a great different thing, different celebrities. Want to put them in acting classes so they can go and make millions upon millions of dollars so that mama and daddy can live off their children 20 years from now. But there's no importance on church. There's no importance on the house of God, and there's especially no importance on what the Word of God says, because Christ is not the head. I see this class of family in the house of God as well, where Christ is not the head. The daddy is not the head. The daddy, most of the time, is not even in the picture. It's the woman and the children. Can I tell you how these children wind up? The kids wind up messed up because the girls turn out to be butchy and they hate men and have no use for a man because they've been taught by a domineering woman that you don't need a man, you can just do for yourself. Instead of teaching that little girl, she needs to look to God to send her a godly man with a King James Bible under his arm, but not only under his arm, but in his heart as well. There's a lot of bunch of pervert little punk boys running around with a suit and tie on with a King James Bible under their arm, but they're not able to even quote 5 verses of scripture if their life depended on it. The girls wind up hating men and having no use for a man because in their mindset, Brother Travis, every man's sorry. And in their experience, they're correct because that's the only man their mama ever had around. And the boys turn out to be sissies. Makes me sick. Brother Cody, I remember as a child, I'd get in the truck with Grandpa, we'd go to the mountains. I didn't have a Nintendo. We didn't have a TV up there. I'd spend 2 or 3 weeks with them. We didn't have a TV up there. We went to his trout farm and we worked. At sunrise, we got up and we worked. And we sweated. But I had fun because I was with my grandpa. But in my free time, I didn't play video games. In my free time, I didn't play on a stinking cell phone. In my free time, I didn't do all these things that a lot of these effeminate little boys are doing today. In my free time, I was told to go play in the creek and watch out for snakes. That's what I was told to do. I went to the creek, I'd find rocks, I'd turn them over, I'd catch crawfish, I'd catch salamanders. I was a boy, bless God Almighty, I was raised to be a boy. You got boys now that are raised by their domineering mama. That's their authority figure. So whenever they become a teenager and into a grown man, they have no respect for authority. They have no respect for a preacher. They have no respect for an employer because they've been raised to be sissies and be dependent on a domineering woman to do everything for them. Wouldn't even know what a shovel is if one slapped them in the face. That's the crowd we're raising in churches today. Then let me give you this one. And this is probably the saddest one of all. What happens to a home and a church where the order goes, Christ is the head, the children as the spiritual head, the woman and the man? One thing that I've seen with running the bus routes, Brother Cody, is this. The downside, and if there is a downside, I'm thankful we had the bus routes. I'm thankful we've seen the kids get saved in our church the way that we have. But one downside is when the children are coming and they're the spiritual barometer of the house, if you will, mom and daddy have no desire to come to the house of God. How many times have we seen, Brother Travis, where kids get saved off that bus route? And hallelujah, praise God, I'm glad the kids get saved. And God make a difference in their life. God start working in their life and moving on them and growing them spiritually. You start seeing them want to read their Bible more, Brother Zach. You start seeing them want to get active in the choir. You start seeing them change the way that they dress, change the way that they act, change the friends that they used to hang around, and look for godly friends that'll help them get closer to the Lord. And when a child has to be that spiritual barometer, you know what I see? And it's every time. Every time they go home. And their mamas and daddies are glad to hear that they got saved. Well, I'm glad, honey. That's awesome. When are you getting baptized? I'll try to make arrangements and be there. Every time in those situations, it's the mama running the home. Every time. Every time it's the mama running the home. Brother Travis, one of the things I struggled with teaching the teenage class, is this right here. This class of family right here. I watched two girls come to church. One of them scared me to death. One of them scared me so bad because I was afraid she was on the verge of suicide. The saddest teenage girl I've ever seen in my life. Brother Travis, they started coming. We started praying for them. We started loving on them. Not one time did I ever go to them when they were lost, Brother Brad, and tell them that they needed to dress a certain way. Not one time did I go to them and tell them they needed to act a certain way. You want to know why? Because they're lost. The only thing that they're going to comprehend is Jesus loves you and wants to save you. And what happened? Praise God, they got saved. They got born again. They started dressing right. I didn't have to tell them to do that, Brother Cody. I didn't have to tell them they needed to wear certain clothes to come to church. They started doing that because the Holy Ghost, when they cleaned them up on the inside, the Holy Ghost started cleaning up the outside. They started wearing dresses, becoming of a lady of God. They started acting the way that a lady should in the house of God. They started wanting to get active in the choir. They wanted a youth choir. They started getting active in church. But they'd always go home and ask Mom and Daddy, when are you going to come to church? Well, we'll come sometime or another. The children, I don't care how bad a child wants to when they're a teenager to be the leader of that house, the child is not capable. Even if they are given the opportunity, they are not capable of leading that home. But we find that Mama will discourage them. Well, you're done acting too saved now. You've done taking this Bible thing too far. What about all your little cousins that we used to go and we'd see, and you know they're all the time talking about how you're never around them anymore. You never talk to them anymore. Because Mom and Daddy are lost as a ball in high weeds. They don't understand what their little children are going through. They don't understand the battle that goes on the inside of them. They have no understanding of the spiritual battle that those children are facing. There was a preacher I like to listen to a lot. He told a story years ago of a little girl that came to church and she got saved, Brother Brad. 16, 17 years old, she got saved. And her mama was a nurse, ran the emergency department down at the local hospital. And the little girl came to her mama and said, "Mama, I believe God wants me to be a missionary and wants me to marry a preacher and go to the mission field." This mama, the whole time, she was glad that her daughter got saved. She was glad that her daughter was reading her Bible and acting like a young lady. But her mama, whenever she heard that, she said, "Oh, no, you're not. You're done taking this thing too far. No daughter of mine is going to be on the other side of the world where I can't get to her." A few years later, this lady runs into the preacher of that church and stops him on the highway and says, "Look, I got to tell you this. I got to tell you what happened." Mama goes into this thing, and as the story goes, they brought this gurney into the hospital and they started screaming, "This woman's dying. She's almost gone." And she goes and she finds this gurney and she pulls back the covers and she realizes through all the scars, through all the cuts on her face, she recognizes the fact that that is her daughter. And she said, "Preacher, I was so mean at you, because my daughter wanted to be a preacher's wife and she wanted to go off and be on the mission field. And I told her she wasn't going. And we stopped coming to church because she had took this thing too far." The girl that was supposed to follow in her mama's footsteps and become an RN dropped out of high school, shacked up with a black boy. And as the witnesses told the story, the girl was dragged out of a car, stabbed and beaten with her little kids in the back by the man she was shacked up with. There was a man inside of a storefront where this was all taking place, Brother Travis, and he watched the man beat her, he watched the man cut her and stab her and try to kill her, throw her down on the road, and the kids are in the car screaming, "Please don't hurt Mama! Please don't hurt our Mama!" Man gets behind the wheel of a car, puts it in drive, and slams the gas pedal to the floorboard trying to run her over. And the man in the storefront got to her in just enough time to pull her out of the way as he fled the scene. Because a mama did not want her child surrendering and serving God, the judgment of God fell on that house. These same kids I talked about a minute ago, where are they at? They're out. They're out. You can't find them with a search warrant. Brother Zach, I believe they got saved. I believe that because I saw the evidence in their life. but where are they at right now? The mama discouraged them. The mama got them out. And their daddy, this was the saddest thing, this is the biggest problem in churches today, why we've got so many effeminate men and so many effeminate boys that are in churches today, is because the dad's a coward and won't stand up and be a man himself. Every time I've seen this, Brother Travis, every time I've seen it, those children never last. They may come back. Brother Zach, thank God some of them do come back. But most of them, when they do come back, are so scarred by the world, they'll never reach the potential with God that they once had. There'll be things they can never do in the house of God because they've disqualified themselves. There's consequences for this. There's consequences for this sin of effeminates in the church. We need some men to stand up and be men. If we had more men standing up and being men in the church, I think a lot of our problems in the church wouldn't be near as severe. We wouldn't have the Jezebels trying to run the church. We wouldn't have the church houses that every time the government flexes its muscles and threatens to fine them that they shut down. We need some men back in church tonight. That's the problem with our world today. That's the problem with our churches. We've got a shortage of men's men. That's the message.
Are you weary from the battle you're fighting? 'Cause it seems that the storm just won't break. Is there a mountain in front of you you doubt will ever move? You wonder, will God make a way?
Well, tell me a time He's not been faithful. Tell me a morning His mercies were new. Tell me a moment that He was enabled to carry you through. Tell me a day He was less than almighty, when He could not roll back the tide. Child, when you look back, you're gonna find there was never a time.
So be strong in the Lord and remember to take hold of faith and stand firm. You can be confident the Lord keeps His promises. Don't doubt, just read through His word.
And tell me a time He's not been faithful. Tell me a morning His mercies were new. Tell me a moment that He was enabled to carry you through. Tell me a day He was less than almighty, when He could not roll back the tide. Child, when you look back, you're gonna find there was never a time.
He can work
miracles, do the impossible. If you don't believe it, just go on and try. Tell me a morning His mercies were new. Tell me a moment that He was enabled to carry you through. Tell me a day He was less We